Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, Ralph Marlboro here. We need your support to keep Saints Happy Hour going this offseason. Please support the show by becoming a patron so we can continue to cover the Saints in the ridiculous fashion you've come to expect. If you support the show, you get access to the podcast ad-free. No ads ever. Plus, you get our world-famous booze bundle, 4 swag items, amazing, and you get access to our private Discord channel where you can talk Saints 24/7. So please support Saints Happy Hour so we can keep this amazing community growing. Support the show at saintshappyhour.com today.
This is Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. What's with this Saints Happy podcast? This has to be the worst Saints podcast in the world. Ralph can't say anyone's name right. Andrew doesn't know football. Everyone has a hard time listening to Dave. And is Kevin even there tonight? The audio with this podcast, my God, the audio, it's painful.
All right, everybody, welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. Rate us, review us, find us wherever you get your podcasts, subscribe to the channel on the YouTube. Do it all. We have a great show for you tonight. We are going to discuss whether the Saints trying to trade for Sam Darnold means Sean Payton is still actively quarterback hunting. We're going to talk Saints draft and their prototype system. And we're going to talk Dave's sushi adventure that he had last night and a whole bunch of other stuff. But first, Thomas, you hop in here. I want you to tell the people how angry you got with
Thomas
over my Yeti microphone obsession. I tried again this week multiple times for you to get it to work, and it failed so badly. You screamed at me and just said, give that shit up, you stupid cripple, and work with the headset.
Yeah,
did
yeah,
you
that's
not?
True. Yeah, that's true. That's true. 100%. 100% true.
I can attest that Ralph's obsession with this Yeti microphone is bordering on disturbing.
He wants to make it work
so bad, and it never works.
My obsession with the Yeti microphone is like Andrew's obsession with Kika back in the day. You just want it to work so bad,
yeah,
that I can't give it up.
Admit it, Ralph. Yeti is your side chick. We won't tell your wife.
I was going to say Yeti is my Moby Dick. It's like I just keep chasing it. It's like my white whale. Like, I can't give it up.
I'm loving the Drake meme altered with Ralph's face on it. That's good. It's good stuff.
Mouth Marlboro or Ralph Marlboro is going to be tweeting that out.
All over it, yeah.
This is the stuff Mouth Marlboro needs to be coming up with.
He has like serious his that Twitter feed confuses me because it's like 85% making fun of me, but it's like 15% real Pelicans takes, which is weird.
Maybe but he forgets to switch the accounts, you know. So he's real.
That's probably what's happening. Yeah, it's his burner becoming his real account. Yeah, that's exactly what
Philly,
it is.
Philly Bando.
Yeah,
but here's. Here's the thing that I want to start with, and we talked about it on the live locker room chat that we do every Wednesday at 9-ish, and you should join us. Download the locker room app, find it. It's amazing. We have a great time. You can interact with us. You can do all kinds of fun stuff. But here's the thing that I want to talk about. The Saints, if you don't know, Mike Lombardi reported, hey, Carolina wasn't the only team that was interested in Sam Darnold. The Saints were kicking the tires trying to get that done. They weren't serious enough to get him to give up more than Carolina did, which was a second and a fourth round pick next year and like a sixth this year. But, Andrew, what does it say that they are kicking the tires for Sam Darnold? Darnold, what does it say about their commitments to the quarterbacks they have? And more importantly, what does it say about what the possibilities are for the draft?
Well, first of all, I don't know if you heard that, Dave, but Ralph definitely tried to throw an S at the end of Darnold. I don't know if you heard that, but he was definitely mentally, like, he couldn't say Darnold. Like, you could tell that it was kind of like in there in his brain that that had to be plural. But no, look, I think if you look at Jameis Winston's contract, it's clear that while we all think he's the guy, they're not going to stop taking swings until they figure it out. And so I don't know that they have the quarterback position. Look, nothing's in stone here. You've got Jameis on each on 1 year deals. So Taysom and Jameis Winston both, you know, beyond 2021, their future in the NFL is very much in flux, and as far as which team they would play for. So I think the Saints are looking at Darnold as a guy that is on a minimum salary. He's still on his rookie deal, and if they could get him for much less than what Carolina ended up paying for him, then they would take him and let him come in the cut. And really, it's not that different from the situation last year with the Saints, where they had Breeze, Winston, and Hill. They had three guys. Right now, their third guy is Simeon. So if they can get someone else that's an upgrade over him, why not get a cheap quarterback in the building that's better than him? And so I think that was the idea there. And I think based on that, we have to be real with ourselves that they very easily could draft a quarterback at some point in this coming draft.
Well, here's my question to you, Dave. Do you think they would be willing? Because I think all five of those quarterbacks are going to be gone in like the top 10 picks. But if the Saints
so our audience knows, you're talking about Mac Jones probably going 3, right?
Yeah.
Trey Lance maybe going as high as 4. And then Justin Fields, maybe going like 8, right? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
Okay. But let's continue.
But let's say Fields falls. Do you think that if the Saints liked Justin Fields or Trey Lance, let's say it's Trey Lance that falls, that's possible too. If they one of those a lot. Not Kyle Trask would be there at 28, but do you think if they like the quarterback enough that they would go from 28 to top 14 to get Josh Fields and give the 2022
it's
first
Justin.
And Justin? It's going to be Josh until he does something worthwhile as in a Saints uniform. If he doesn't do that, he's Josh Fields forever. You're lucky, Andrew. You're lucky I don't call him Mrs. Fields because I like their cookies so much.
Sally. Oh, okay.
Sally
Fields.
You like me. You really, really like me. But do you think that they would possibly trade up to get Fields and burn a lot of premium assets this draft and next draft because they love him so much?
I mean, We kicked around that idea last week on the podcast when it was...
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events... You'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
just you and me. I had brought that possibility up as, you know, one option. You know, if the Saints, there's a guy that they really like, they, you know, they would very, could I see that happening? Yes, I could definitely see that happening. Do I think it's going to happen? No, not really. That's, I don't know. I don't see them doing something that, I use the word reckless, but I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be, it doesn't necessarily have to be reckless. If it turned out to be a great move, then it wouldn't necessarily be reckless. But I don't think that's just, that doesn't fit the Saints style. Trading up obviously fits the Saints style, but not in the first round, you know, trading up 15 spots and giving up tons and tons of draft picks both now and in the future. But wait, I just want to go back. You know, you have to clarify. The Saints did not actively, they were not actively, you make it seem like, for Sam Darnold, you make it seem like the Saints, like, would have gotten Sam Darnold if they hadn't been beaten out by the Panthers. I mean, Mike Lombardi just said they kicked the tires on it. I mean, that, well, you got to clarify that.
But I mean, but let's say it could have happened if Carolina was like, you know what? We're not going to give you higher than a fourth, and the Saints are like, we'll give you one of the comp thirds.
Well, we don't know. We don't know what the Saints were offering. It could have been like, we'll give you a fifth for him, and obviously they got a lot more than that.
Yeah, they're at the point in free agency where they're just going to throw shit at the wall and see what sticks. But to answer your question earlier to Andrew, you know, how serious does this mean, or how comfortable are they with the quarterbacks they have in the room? Mike Lombardi answered that. He said, Mike Lombardi said, in addition to the Sam Darnold thing, he said that the Saints have been very active all offseason in the quarterback market, which they've been kicking the tires on a lot of quarterbacks. And look, that's great. That's what I want them to be doing. That's what they should be doing. Because I certainly don't necessarily trust Jameis or Taysom to be starting quarterback. I think you should always be looking at all your options.
Well, just be glad that Jameis signed that contract, because I have it on good authority that if he didn't, the next guy on the list was Jacoby Brissett.
Oh my God. I just saw my life flash in front of my eyes.
I'm just telling you what I heard.
Jacoby Brissett, he is the black version of Billy Joe Hulbert, and no one can tell me different. Like,
speaking
a little bit
of,
mobile,
speaking of
like
weird,
him, but inaccurate as hell. Like,
I was going to say, speaking of weird, you wanted to work white whale. Billy Joe Hulbert was that for me. Like, I had an irrational, like, I disliked Billy Joe Tolliver.
Because Billy he's Joe. A ginger, and gingers don't have souls. Like, your hatred of Billy Joe Tolliver, that's totally rational. Totally rational.
Gingers don't have souls. Wow.
That's a fact. Like I don't want to hear, I don't want to, and if they have any gingers in our audience, we love you, and we appreciate
no, you
it
don't,
if you're
apparently,
opinion,
apparently
if you're
not.
But we love you, but you don't have a soul. Like, it's cool. Like, I only have one working arm. Like, it is what it is. Like, you know.
Jesus.
But here's the thing.
Cancel culture come for people who are against gingers? Is that a
we're
thing?
We're done. Yeah. Well, hopefully we're ahead of the curve on that. And maybe we'll miss it.
You know. Do they have a word for being anti-ginger?
Not yet.
Not yet. I think it's all going to start with this podcast. I think we just started the movement. Thanks, Ralph.
Dave, the thing is, though, with the Saints and how they view the Jacoby Brissett thing, Andrew, that just like, that was like a knife in my stomach. Like, oh my God. Like, the fall from Jameis to Jacoby Brissett is fucking deep. But
we hope so.
Is it though? Yeah, we hope so. We'd like to think that.
Yes. I mean, Jameis, to me, The fall between the difference between Jameis and Sam Darnold is fucking steep. Like we said on the locker room chat, Dave, the only reason people like Sam Darnold is because they think the Jets are a clown organization, and if you can just get him away from the Jets, he'll be good.
Adam, but he's
actually never done on the anything on the field that shows that he can be good. It's just the Jets ruin everything.
Yeah, I mean, and there's probably some truth to that. You know, I said this a while ago. I remember listening to who the hell was it? Fisher, the coach, guy who used to coach.
Somebody said hatred of gingers, gingivitis.
Yeah, Jeff Fisher, and he was talking about Greg Williams, and like he blamed, he thought Sam Darnold was not evolving and becoming as good of a quarterback as they thought because of Greg Williams, because he's got to go up against Greg Williams in practice every day, and Greg Williams just brings the heat constantly. You know, he doesn't allow a young quarterback to slowly ease into an offense his rookie year. He just throws the whole defensive book at him right from the get-go, and he's got to be able to, you know, computate all this stuff right off the bat, and he doesn't get a chance to ease into it. So, I mean, Jeff Fisher seemed to think like Greg Williams might have just totally destroyed Sam Darnold's psyche and gotten in his head. I mean, the one thing about Sam Darnold is, I mean, he's so young still. I mean, he's already played.
I like the Greg Williams slander. I'm here for that.
I mean, he's played. This is going to be what, his third season, but he's still only like 23. I think he's like only a year younger than Joe Burrow or something like that.
Yeah, but when you're bad, you're bad. Age is kind of irrelevant.
Hi, this is Ralph Marlboro from the Saints Happy Hour podcast. It's that time of year again. All eyes are on pro basketball and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline has all the betting action. In the NBA, the conference races are heating up as teams prepare to make their run for the playoffs. And if baseball is your first love, BetOnline has you covered. If you love hockey, golf, MMA, and championship boxing, BetOnline has it all. Every sport, every game, every matchup. BetOnline has you covered for all the odds and real-time updates and is the place for all your sports betting needs. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to place and check in on all your favorite sports bets all the time. Head over to the website or use your mobile device and bring home the game with BetOnline. We are on the Locker Room app every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock, talking Saints, talking NFL, talking draft. It's amazing. You can interact with us, goof at us, you can make fun of me, mispronounce names, you can ask serious draft questions about Andrew. We're having a blast talking Saints live. All you have to do is go download the Locker Room app for free in the iOS App Store. Create a profile, link to your Twitter, and then join the NFL group. Follow me at Saints Happy Hour to be notified when the room goes live. We'll be going live every Wednesday at around 9 o'clock to talk Saints, to talk draft, and basically to make fun of me mispronouncing names. So do it. Download the Locker Room app today and then join us live every Wednesday at 9 o'clock. I should have got Andrew to look this up or try to do it myself, but I didn't because I'm lazy. My question is, like, what quarterback in NFL history has been as bad as Sam Darnold for 3 years and actually turned it around and become good? Like, because he is fucking bad.
Well, like, recent history, Tannehill, right?
Tannehill was never as bad as Darnold, though. Like, yeah. Tannehill got the Miami to the playoffs. He had issues because my wife is a Dolphin fan, so I watched a lot of Tannehill. But he frustrated you, but he never was like he – like Sam Darnold, if he didn't play for the Jets and he played for like any other team, maybe you'd be like, that dude is hopeless. Put him on this trash heap. Yeah. Like, it's just a difficult thing.
Like, is Sam Darnold a clear upgrade over Teddy Bridgewater? You know, it's like, I mean, they didn't really give up much, right? They're not paying Darnold. They gave up a second and a fourth next year, which, you know,
they're paying Darnold. They'll pay Darnold $20 million next year.
Yeah, but they could also trade him. So, you know, they gave up a sixth this year, a second and a fourth next year. But the question I ask is, it sounds like they're unloading Teddy. Did they even upgrade at quarterback?
I mean, I think they know what they have in Teddy Bridgewater.
Right,
and I hate to say it, but I don't think that. I just don't think that Teddy has what it takes really to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I think he's a great as a backup, but I just, you know,
not feeling it.
I just don't, you know, I know we all love him. I know he did great when he was here, and I'm thankful for having him and for his service, and I miss his dancing, but I just, you know, he's not a guy. He's not a quarterback who's going to take you deep into the playoffs or win you a Super Bowl. I mean, he's just not.
Unless your roster is loaded.
Teddy Bridgewater,
I think, has proved that he can be a top 20 NFL quarterback.
I guess, maybe. Yeah. But, I mean, that's like his ceiling. That's like it.
Yeah.
His ceiling is like win one playoff game. And so I think with Darnold, I think what you have in Darnold is the possibility. I think that's what you're banking on. If you're comparing current Darnold now and current Teddy Bridgewater, I think you would go with Teddy Bridgewater. I think what they're banking on is, like you said at the beginning of this whole conversation, is we got to get him out of the Jets. They've ruined him. We've got to break him down. We've got to build him back up, and we've got to make him into a real NFL quarterback and not a clown show quarterback.
Well, he definitely has more arm talent than Bridgewater, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to break it to you guys, but we're all pretty much, you're joking about this Darnold thing, but that's exactly the situation we're in. We are hoping that Jameis Winston is leaving Tampa Bay, coming to New Orleans, and that the Saints are going to be able to tear him down, build him back up again, fix him, and make him a great quarterback. So
The only thing I would disagree with there is that Jameis Winston has made big time throws and big time plays. He's had a turnover problem. And he's lost games because he's been a little reckless. But statistically, Winston has done it. He has made big time throws. He has shown the ability to put his team on his back. Darnold has never done that. Darnold hasn't done a damn thing in the NFL. Now, I agree. Yeah, you know, Adam Gase, the Jets, all that, big time arm. But, like, I would say that at this point, Jameis Winston has at least proven that being picked first overall based on his talent, like, he has showcased his talent. Darnold has not.
I like how he has likes, crab legs, Darnold's losing, hates Adam Gase and Jameis. Does Jameis hate eating the W though?
I wanted to include both.
That's the one thing I loved about Jameis. Like, he knows that people laugh about eating the W, but he leans into that shit. Like, after the Saints wrecked the Bucs on Sunday night, like, he was behind Drew, like, eating the W. Like, he leans into it. If Jameis is good this year, like, we're going to see, Dave, lots of eating the W. Like, Jameis, he's not giving it up. That's, like, one of his things.
Yeah, no. I mean, I don't know if I'm the only one that feels this way, but that shit makes me cringe. Like, when he does that, it's like, I am, like, physically uncomfortable. Like, it's just, like, weirdly corny, you know, like it makes me cringe in the same way like when your dad tells the corniest fucking joke you've ever heard in front of like your friends or something like that. It's just like, oh my god, I don't know. I just, for me personally, it makes me uncomfortable.
But we're seeing this graphic right now. I mean, with Jameis, the 30 interceptions that everyone talks about, that's the anomaly. The year in his career. Like, if you go back and look at what he's done in Tampa, that's the year hasn't been the constant.
And I want to say Nick Underhill did a piece where he broke down like every Jameis interception. And I think he came to the conclusion that it should have been like 15 or 17. Like, a ton of them were like really, really bad luck, like tip balls and fucking.
Yeah, but that happens all the time to Breeze too.
Weird shit, you know?
I mean, that's part of,
excuse it, but like, sometimes you just get a year where you get like bad luck. It's kind of like interceptions to me are kind of like a baseball stat where they call it batting average of balls in play, where like, when you hit the ball and it's in play, like, you might hit it at right at a dude really hard and you might bloop four hits that are like really just sheer luck. Mm. So, you know, it'll be interesting, but That leads me to another question, Dave. As we talk, you know, because everything is so Jameis-centric. He's, you know, he's got to be great. He wants to get paid. The Saints season depends on it. So when you talk about the Saints player under the most pressure, like Jameis is his own category. But it got me to thinking, like, what's another Saints player going into 2021 that, like, this season is critical for them and their career with the Saints or in the NFL or whatever? Who would you say?
Marcus Davenport.
Marcus Davenport.
I mean, yeah. how could you say anyone else? We gave up two firsts. We've been calling him that, for God's sakes. Gave up two first round picks for the guy. And don't you dare come at me with, well, it's only really one first round pick, you know, because if you think about how you trade up, you already had a first. Don't give me that. We gave up two first round picks to acquire Marcus Davenport. But I just think, look, we've seen the talent. He's gotten banged up, he's gotten injured, but we've already seen why the Saints gave up two firsts to get him, because he's flashed. He looks incredible when he's on his game. But Trey Hendrickson's gone. The buffer, you know, the nice little, whatever you want to call it, the buffer that he has is gone. So, like, the Saints are all in on Marcus Davenport this year. They don't have any other pass rush options. I mean, unless they draft a guy in the first round, it's all up to him this year. And
Dave, would you agree with that, or would you have a different name? Because I had a different name.
I mean, Davenport is definitely the top of the list for sure. Every bubble player and practice squad guy, you know, obviously all of them, you know, fit in as an answer to this question, because obviously it's always important to them. If I wanted to make a joke, I'd say little Jordan Humphrey, and I'm half serious, because, you know, like a lot of other people, he's been here 3 years. You know, it's at some point you got to be able to take the next step. I was trying to look up his contract. You know, one name I would throw out there, but I would have to look at his contract. But if he was in a contract here, like Will Lutz.
Last year
we saw some chinks in the armor. He was in his head a little bit, maybe. He wasn't as reliable as he has been in the year prior. So, you know, this could be a make or break year if he continues down the path he was kind of heading last season. Yeah. That could be an issue, but
they cut Garrett Hartley, for God's sakes. And that dude was extra fucking clutch when it mattered the absolute most. So I think Will Lutz, if he has a bad September, it could happen. But my guy that I picked as having as much pressure on him is Lattimore, because Lattimore.
I was going to say him too.
If he has a great year, he can be the highest paid corner in the NFL history, right?
Yeah.
And I know if he's just okay, he could still get between $70 and $80 million, and that's a life altering money, and that's great. Or, you know, he could get injured and maybe have to do another prove it year. But Andrew, if Lattimore plays lights out and has one of those years where he gets a little lucky and gets like 7 interceptions or 8 interceptions, like, I believe 100% he will be the highest paid corner in the NFL. Either the Saints will pay him or another team will fucking pay him next spring. Like, that to me, like, he has a ton riding on this year. And I just say him over Marcus Williams and Ramchek, because I think those two guys are more likely to get extended before the season starts, more so than Lattimore. That's why I picked Lattimore as my guy that has a ton riding on 2021.
I think it's a scientific fact that Lattimore has the most interceptions in NFL history when there's a flag on the play and it gets wiped off the field.
I'm kidding about that.
Yeah. But Lattimore's a good one. Yeah, it's a huge year for him because it's not just about whether he stays on the Saints or not. And hopefully, I mean, maybe they'll get a long-term deal done before the season starts. But I just feel like Lattimore's a guy where he could it could go a million different ways depending on how this year goes for him. If he stays on that one-year deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a really interesting situation because now that the Saints have sort of figured out their cap and, you know, they got under it because you have to. But, Dave, as we look at those three guys, Williams, Lattimore, Ramczyk, if I said to you, $500, go to Vegas, pick one that gets extended before they go to training camp, who would you put your money on?
I would probably put my money on Ramczyk. I don't know. I'm looking at the tweet on the screen. I don't know why. I guess maybe because offensive line is just not a, you know, it's, I don't know. It's just not a sexy position and this kind of shit just, I don't know. I would just say Ramczyk.
One fact about offensive linemen, the top 32 ranked offensive linemen by PFF, 29 of them are either first or second round picks. So like you can't get a good offensive lineman late in the after the middle rounds. Like the Teron Armsteads, like those are the exception now. Like it's just so freaking hard to get an offensive lineman. So, but Andrew, if I said the same thing to you, they're only going to extend one before training camp. Who would you bet on?
I would bet on Ramczyk as well. You know, Williams is kind of a done deal. Like he signed the tender, so he's playing on that until they change it. It's not as urgent. I mean, I don't think they tag him unless they're serious about keeping him long term. So, you know, Williams would be the other one. The one that's most complicated to me out of the three is Lattimore. We've talked about this many times. I don't know that you do it. I don't know that you pay him $20 million a year. I'm scared of what life looks like without Lattimore. But you know, he's been inconsistent to me. That's the least obvious of the three. And look, Sean Payton, he's an offensive guy. Like he's always, I know the Saints have been leaning defense the last couple of years because maybe Breeze has been a little bit of a decline. Maybe the offense has been a little bit playing it safer, a little bit more predictable. But he's calling the plays on offense and he's going to want to protect whoever the heir to Drew Brees is, whoever that next QB is,
yeah,
he's going to want to protect that guy. And I just think he's got one of the best tackles in the league. There's no way he's letting him leave the building.
I think it's Williams. And the only reason I say that is because of the three contracts that those guys are going to do, the cheapest one, even if he's the highest paid at his position, is Williams. So that makes me think it's the easiest one. Like Ramczyk and Lattimore, those contracts are going to be fucking ridiculous. So,
but Ramchek's a no-brainer, though, right? Like, I get that it's going to be a expensive contract, but there's just
it's a no-brainer.
He's earned every penny.
He's the best of all those players we're talking about. He's the best at his position across the league. He's a better tackle than Lattimore, is a better cornerback.
Yeah,
and that Williams is a better. Well, I don't.
Although,
know.
I don't if know. I had to rate him, I would say Ramczyk is the safest bet if you wanted to make him the highest paid player. Then it would be Williams. Then it would be Lattimore in the least safest to extend. But it's going to be interesting.
Like if you ask me out of that, here's the interesting thing though. If you ask me out of those three, which one is the most likely to get the contract and just immediately suck, like go full Junior Gallette or whatever, I would say Lattimore is the most likely. But if you
they
were
call
to
that
ask
the Fairley, they call that the Nick Fairley.
Yeah, who's most likely to go Nick Fairley and have a heart ailment? I would go with Lattimore. But if you were to ask me which one of the three would be most likely to get injured and to have a steep decline from that injury, I would actually say Ramczyk. And that's just because the whole body armor thing, the fact that he plays 16 games and he's kind of limping to the finish line every year. I mean, he's awesome. Don't get me wrong, you know, but it just scares me that he's always wearing that armor.
He does. I mean,
the torn pec, you know, the torn pec contraption on his arm. That always makes me nervous seeing that on him. And he's always like limited in practice that week, you know. He plays. Give him credit. But, like, you just wonder how long can you do that?
You know, Andrew, as we sort of pivot and go back to the draft, because I read the rundown wrong. Here's my question to you, Mr. Draft expert, eating the tape, all that sort of thing, DMing with Randy Mueller and other draft experts to get your board. You got like a spreadsheet where you like merged all the top 10 draft boards on the internet. You like put them in a spreadsheet and you have like the consensus top 300 and shit.
Consensus top 427, actually. But who's counting?
Jesus.
I used to do that back in my blocking days.
My question to you is, should I be nervous that the Saints haven't added a veteran corner, at least a room temperature body, before the draft? And does that make them more likely to trade up to get a corner? Because corner number two is still looking pretty fucking shaky.
Well, that's the biggest hole in the entire roster. Is corner number two, I would say. So, you know, what's interesting is the two guys they were looking at, Kerry from the Colts and Richard Sherman, they're both still looking for a team. So they have signed neither, but they haven't lost out on either of them yet. So I don't think it's time to panic. I'd be more worried if they were poking around at those guys and they signed elsewhere and they lost the opportunity. But, you know, at this point, you're so close to the draft. It's almost like, let's see how that goes before I think there's going to be another free agency resurgence. There's a lot of guys still available. And part of that's just due to the salary cap being down and guys not getting opportunities. Yeah. Yeah, the middle class really got squeezed out, but I think we may see another run as the draft happens where teams are like, shit, well, we didn't get the corner. We didn't get the guy we wanted at this position. And so those kind of guys get signed after the draft.
By the way, you should become a patron because you get access to our private Discord channel. And people in the Discord, I'm a little bit disappointed in you. I told you if you could start a draft rumor that would really hurt a player and cause them to drop to the Saints, if you could create and spread a horrible draft rumor that would help the Saints, I'd give you a free t-shirt. Nobody's been able to do it yet. So people in the Discord get on that. But if you're a patron, you get access to the Discord channel, and the Discord channel is amazing.
That's awesome.
Speaking of...
Shout out to Brewjammer, who's been drinking lots of different delicious-looking beers and posting them in the Discord channel.
That's right. Speaking of dumb ideas, Dave, if I told you... We need because when you're at a team like the Saints and you pick 28, you need teams ahead of you to be stupid, right? Remember the Bears in 2017? They picked Trubisky and that helped Lattimore.
Oh, that was fantastic. Fall
down the little table a little bit, right? So you need teams to be dumb. So if I said to you, Dave, who are two or three teams not at the top of the draft board, because the teams at the top of the draft board, like Jacksonville and Cincinnati and even Denver to a certain extent, they do dumb shit all the time because that's why they've been picking top five for the last however many little years. But if I said, Dave, give me two teams in the teens that might do something dumb that would help the Saints, what teams would you nominate to do dumb shit?
Oh, man, I got to look now who's in the teens. Are the you know, usually the Raiders are my go-to answer for this one. Are they in the teens?
They pick 17. Yeah.
There you go. All right. There's my answer. The Raiders. Now, Al Davis is dead. He's gone. So, you know, the odds drop exponentially there.
Well, but Mike Mayock is the guy that's making the decisions now.
He channels Al Davis in a way that is frightening. Dude, the bad decisions. I'm just saying.
Well, I feel like the answer should be the 49ers because they've already gone ahead and made the horrible mistake. Like, that's already happened. And we don't even know who they're going to pick, but we already know that.
Three.
You know, Mac if Jones they, is not worth three first-round picks.
If they gave up three first-round picks to go get Bama Chad, Chad Henne, that is horrifically bad decision. I mean, maybe Shanahan can make him good and he becomes Matt Ryan 2.0. And that, like, even if I told you he was Matt Ryan good, would you still give up three first round picks for him? I mean, probably, but oof.
I feel like not even the Bengals can botch this draft because they pick fifth. And I think, well, three quarterbacks are going to go 1, 2, 3. I feel like that's a given.
Yeah.
But then at four, the Falcons could take a quarterback. They could trade down, and if they trade down, someone's going to trade up and take a quarterback. They're going to take Trey Lance at four, I think, if they trade down. If they stick at four, they may take a quarterback. And if they do, Cincinnati has got their pick between the best tackle, Sewell out of Oregon, or Ja'Marr Chase.
Tight end.
Yeah, or Kyle Pitts. So like,
might be the best player in the whole goddamn
draft. Like, whatever of those three guys they pick, they're going to be protecting Joe Burrow. They'll either reunite him with his favorite receiver, they'll give him a left tackle that'll be there for 10 years and be awesome, or they'll give him, like you said, Kyle Pitts may actually be the best player in the draft. So I just feel like not even the Bengals can botch this based on where they're slotted, but we'll see.
Yeah,
I mean, the Patriots at 15, they haven't resolved their quarterback situation yet. And I could see them trading up for the fifth quarterback.
What are you talking about? They re-signed Cam Newton. That's all they need.
I mean, I think if it, to me, Fields is so interesting because I wonder if this like narrative that people have created that like maybe he's lazy, maybe he's going to drop. Like, I wonder if that's just totally 100% Dave, like ESPN created, because we have the ESPN has to create drama for the draft. And if they don't have drama, it's not as interesting. I wonder if this is all just bullshit and like it's going to be like Josh Fields at either pick three or he's going to get picked at like. Eight,
it's Justin.
Carolina or not.
I'm sorry. Keep going. I just can't hear Josh Fields and not stop you, but continue.
Yeah. It's I'm sorry. I'm sorry to Fields and his whole entire family.
It makes me almost want to vomit.
I don't necessarily know if it's necessarily ESPN created. I mean, if anything, you know, it could be created by, you know, another team that wants to draft him. They put these leaks out there, you know, try to get other teams off the scent. So, you know, it certainly could be bullshit. But I wouldn't blame ESPN if that were the case. I would probably blame another team or something like that.
Yeah.
I feel like Washington football team is another one that could make a colossal mistake.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. You know what? I changed my answer to them.
Yeah, like they're picking 19, and from what I'm hearing, they're trying to move up to take a quarterback. The Patriots might be wanting to move up to take a quarterback. So, like, I feel they're both going to be jostling for Fields potentially. Although, man, can
PTSD for Washington?
I was going to say, can Washington really take another Ohio State quarterback? Are they going to do that to themselves again?
I mean,
there's no way, right?
I don't know. I mean,
I feel like it's Trey Lance. Trey Lance is the guy that's got like four teams that want him. And that's why I think he's going to go four. And it makes me sick to my stomach, but I think Atlanta's going to get a king ransom at four. Cause I think Mac Jones, I'm telling you, like, I think Mac Jones is, everyone thinks that's who the 49ers want. And so if that's true, if Mac Jones goes three, I think Atlanta is going to get awesome compensation for that pick, and someone will move. It'll be Washington or it'll be the Patriots. Maybe Carolina is still in the mix for QB, but
Here's the thing though. If if Carolina, I mean, I don't know.
I don't think Atlanta wouldn't trade with Carolina, though.
I don't think Atlanta will get two first round picks to move off of four, do you? Like, I think they might get I think what would be insanity is if like Denver moved from like 9 to 4 and gave them like a first and a second round pick. That would be like a huge amount. But yeah. I don't see New England giving them like 2 firsts. Like Bill Belichick, man, he loves his draft picks so much. And like his whole theory of drafting, even though it hasn't worked the last 5 to 7 years, like his whole theory is the Kevin Held trade down theory, right? Like,
yeah.
Just acquire as many picks as you can, and that gives you as many throws of the dart at the dartboard as you can acquire. And for the Patriots to go up from like 15 to 4, that's going to cost you like a first and a second. And Bill Belichick, he loves his draft picks more than he loves MILFs. So
I don't think this is going to happen. But is there a small percentage for either of you, like, you know, just somewhere small in your body, like a 3%,
like your level, penis?
Yeah, like a 3% level of discomfort that the Saints are going to trade into the top 10 and get one of these quarterbacks?
Yeah,
I have this nervous feeling. I don't think it's going to happen, but like I just picture it now, like ding 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 ding, you know, like the ESPN jingle, and it's like, and the Saints have traded up to number 9, and I'm like, oh my god! And immediately, what enters my mind when that happens is, what?
God, I hate to hear that. I hate to hear that.
How many draft picks did this cost us?
I mean, I
don't think that's the Saints' MO. I don't think
they would do that. You don't think they would trade up and give away the house?
No,
I think they 100% would.
Check the timestamp on this.
No. This isn't 1999 anymore.
What?
No, I disagree, Dave, because I think, let's say hypothetically, Sean Payton has decided he loves Fields from Ohio State. I think the specter of Pat Mahomes, them not drafting Pat Mahomes, even though they don't regret it, because they had an amazing 4 years. They got fucked out of a Super Bowl by Bill Vinovich. And I don't think they regret drafting Lattimore for a second. But I could see Sean Payton being like, I was 100% right on Mahomes. I'm 100% right on Fields. We cannot miss out on the quarterback now because we don't have Drew in the building anymore. We have to get him. He's fallen to us by an act of God. Mickey, go and get him. I 100% believe if Josh Fields gets past Carolina, it is in play. No, I 100% believe.
I could see Josh that happening. Fields. I could see Josh Fields. Yeah, I could see that happening if he falls to like 15 or something. But no way in the top 10. I don't see that happening.
Your outdoor experiences could be better, clearly better. Canon's sunglasses are made exclusively with polarized lenses for optimal clarity. Using Japanese optics, Canon's lenses are clearer, lighter, and stronger than other lenses, and are nearly impossible to scratch. With frames handcrafted in Italy, Canon's sunglasses elevate your experiences outside with a degree of clarity beyond your wildest imagination. Use the exclusive code CanonCast15 at Canon.com to receive 15% off your first pair. That's Canoncast15. Canon, clearly better. Hi, this is Ralph Marlboro from the Saints Happy Hour podcast. It's that time of year again. All eyes are on pro basketball and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline has all the betting action. In the NBA, the conference races are heating up as teams prepare to make their run for the playoffs. And if baseball is your first love, BetOnline has you covered. If you love hockey, golf, MMA, and championship boxing, BetOnline has it all. Every sport, every game, every matchup. BetOnline has you covered for all the odds and real-time updates and is the place for all your sports betting needs. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to place and check in on all your favorite sports bets all the time. Head over to the website or use your mobile device and bring home the game with BetOnline.
What's with the Belichick loves MILFs? I don't get that. What is that from?
Dude, I mean, just
Google look
it.
At him.
Really?
Yeah, just Google him.
All right, I'm going to Google it now.
So, guys, before we get to the
Bill
question,
Belichick MILFs.
Yeah, we
I can't wait to play this again after the draft when the Saints draft Justin, a.k.a. Josh Fields.
A.k.a. Missing. Dude, but think of the slander if he's bad. Top results. Automatically becomes MILF's
girlfield girlfriend.
Yeah.
Here's something on Twitter. MILF hunting sociopath Bill Belichick. What the hell? What's been going on that I miss?
Man, you're That's out of the loop, Dave. Because you're not on Twitter 14 hours a day, and you miss out.
I know.
Yeah. You're not living the right life, Dave.
Yeah. So, Tom, before Thomas fires up the Take It to the Top music and I give you finger guns, I want to remind everybody, become a patron. We got 293 people that are supporting this podcast, allowing us to do amazing things. It allows us to pay Thomas in the finest cheeses and cured meats. It allows us to do the podcast every day. Become a patron. You get a booze bundle with swag items and a player card. And the thing is, we ship that son of a bitch all over the world. So become a patron, support the show. We need you. We have the most fun, cool live stream of any Saints podcast. And that's because people support the show. We need you to support the show. $7 a month is the entry. Just do it already. It's the best $7 you'll
Ralph,
spend.
What's the Malta
rank? Malta update.
Give me the latest Malta numbers.
Rock solid number one. And here's the thing. I believe.
Well, let's go.
That's because Miguel made all of his friends and family listen to the episode that he was on.
I believe that.
Well done, Miguel.
I believe that a patron or a fan of the show messed with the download algorithm because we had a ridiculous number of downloads on Wednesday and Thursday. We actually set a record with over 3,700 downloads on Wednesday and Thursday. And the thing is, the number of the downloads for both days was exactly the same. What is the odds of that? So maybe a patron is like
cooking the books.
Cooking the books. We appreciate it. Although my guy at Art 19,
you know,
he says they weed out people trying to cook the books.
And you never
they know how to
will.
Make sure that it's a legitimate download. So maybe we just had these exact same downloads that was a record on Wednesday and Thursday, and it just happened to be the exact same number of downloads each day. Maybe it was just a coinky dink.
So another week at the top of the chart in Malta, though. It's official.
Another week. Top of the charts. Beautiful. Although we didn't crack the top 15 in overall podcasts in Malta. We were just number one for football.
All right. So. Well, top 15 Maltese podcasts is next.
So there you go. So, Thomas, fire up the music. Let's get to the questions. And oh, by the way, people, get your questions in early, like Friday, Saturday. Like, we're going to have a cutoff time for questions because people are sending in questions to Thomas like 5, 10, 15 minutes before the show starts. Thomas can't be doing your
questions right now on Discord.
Yeah, if you're new to the show, the music in the background, if you're thinking, God, that music's really strange. That it is from the late 80s, and it is Morten Andersen's single.
And Brian
Take
Hansen.
It to the Top. And Brian Hansen, the punter. True story. Morten Andersen and Brian Hansen, Take It to the Top.
Go to that. They are in the whitest
short shorts you have ever seen in your entire life.
Take it to the top.
I mean,
it is like amazing. Eighties were wild and crazy.
Yeah,
so
it's peak 80s.
Let's go, Thomas.
What next?
Next, first question from Budrich. If Josh Fields falls in the draft and the Saints take him, regardless if they trade up or he's there at 28, do you believe Fields can beat out all the current QBs and be the starter in 2021?
No chance. I
think
have
that's
my
hard to do. Yeah, I mean, I think, especially with Peyton, I think it would be very hard to come in as a rookie and learn Peyton's offense and be a successful starter.
Yeah.
I think you've got to. If you draft a QB, I think you got to keep him on the bench for a year.
Yeah, and I don't think the Saints will get any of the top five guys, even though we talked about that. But I do think, you know, Newman. Kellen Mond, Kyle Trask. There's several quarterbacks. Ian Book apparently is a guy that Sean Payton likes, maybe in the seventh round. So I think there's a lot of guys in the draft that the Saints could look at, and I think the idea would be to have them in the building so that they can learn for a year while they try to figure out if they have anything in Jameis Winston.
It would be so Saints if they draft Justin Fields. And then Jameis, of course, beats him out, and it's just fucking amazing this year. And then the Saints are like, oh my God, Jameis is amazing. But we just drafted this dude and gave up two number ones to get him. What do we do? Like, that would be so Saintsy.
That would be quite Saintsy, yeah.
So, Thomas.
What next?
Second question from Down with Disease. Judge has gone on the record stating he doesn't like Zaven Collins at 28. I'm curious what Judge thought about Demario Davis when he signed with the Saints.
Andrew, before you answer that question specifically, tell the people like what Jeff Ireland built in the like the prototype system. And like how the Saints do their drafting now, that ever since Jeff Ireland put that in place, and why that's part of the reason you don't like Collins. Like, explain that. Give him the elevator pitch. And
well,
like,
it's really Nick Underhill is really the one that's kind of divulged that information and has sourced it and all that. So if you're a subscriber to Nick's stuff, then you can go read his articles, and it alludes to this, but. Yeah, basically the Saints have minimum requirements on all positions, height, weight, speed, 40 time, hand size, arm length. You know, there's all these things where it's like they basically have this database where there's a minimum requirement that you have to hit all these levels at each of those things. And with Zaven Collins in particular, I mean, he's obviously very big. His tape looks great. But he runs a 4.67 40, and so that makes him a non-negotiable as far as the prototypes are concerned. Now they do make exceptions from time to time.
Yeah, but Andrew,
but shit, man, when you talk about a slow linebacker, to me that feels like a non-negotiable.
But Andrew, I want to give you credit for this. This is Nick's article is great, but me and you were talking about this texting today, and you went and researched it because I was like, well, how often have they made exceptions and what does that tell us about what they care about and what they don't? You went and looked it up. Dude, the list of exceptions that the Saints have made to the measurables is Michael Thomas. He didn't meet the speed requirement. That's the fucking list.
Since
Jeff
2016.
Ireland.
Yeah.
That's the list.
That's
so
the
like
list.
If they don't meet the requirement, like it's like a 99% chance that if they don't meet all their measurement requirements, Saints ain't picking them. Like, and you can hate it, you can say whatever, but like the facts are, like, if the dude doesn't make the, if he didn't hit the measurements, like he's out. Like you can
and,
toss
and
him.
And
the
one
track.
Exception is the NFL Offensive Player of the Year. So, I will say, if they do draft Zaven Collins, despite his lack of speed, then obviously they think very highly of him and make the exception. But to answer their question real quick, I don't think any of us knew that DeMario Davis was going to be this good. I think he caught us all by surprise when he came to the Saints. And so I can't take credit for saying when he came to the Saints that he was going to be anything like what we saw. And yet I remember when DeMario Davis was in the draft, he was a combine superstar. I mean, you look at Teron Armstead, everybody talking about how fast he was and how freakish he was. This guy from Arkansas Pine Bluff, well, DeMario Davis, speed. I mean, his rep, I remember he had like 31 reps on the bench press or something ridiculous. And he tested off the charts. You compare DeMario Davis's combine to every other linebacker the Saints have had the last 15 years, it is staggering how much better he was at all the metrics. So I don't compare Davis and Zaven Collins in the sense that if they were both rookies this year and you looked at them side by side, DeMario Davis's numbers would totally dominate Collins's.
Yeah.
Much better prospect.
What next?
Next, we finally got to some serious questions, guys. Next one is from Ball.
The last question wasn't serious?
No. Check this out. Next one is from Balky. Despite being retired, we know that Breeze is still licking his fingers 147 times a day. I wonder if it's the snooker reference. What activities do you all think are the most finger-licking good in Breeze's retirement?
Definitely not eating Jimmy John's.
I think whatever
AFC, it's finger-licking good.
That Breeze didn't want, like, he craved, but he like knew I cannot put it in the temple of my body. Like, I would think like something fried and greasy, like maybe Cane's or Popeyes, like something terribly greasy, pizza. Like, he's just killing that, because not that he's going to gain like 50 pounds, but like now Breeze knows, like, if I want to sit and like wreck a large meat lover's pizza from Pizza Hut, I can do that because I don't have to play quarterback anymore. Like,
hey,
I can
hey,
put
Ralph.
Trash in my body and still maintain the same weight, and it doesn't matter. So I'm going to say pizza.
Actually, I'm going to ask Dave this question since he's the foodie. Dave, if you could have lunch with Drew Brees, but your options were either Jimmy John's or walk-ons, would you decline to have a meal with Drew Brees?
No, I would go to walk-ons.
You go. Well, walk-ons, you could have at least you could get a beer there.
Yeah. Walk-ons isn't it's not terrible. I've eaten there a few times because my other store in Baton Rouge is located in the same shopping center as the original walk-ons.
It's not good.
It's not. I mean, you know, it's not Commander's Palace or anything like that. But
speaking of food, Dave, you had like sushi experience of a lifetime. I saw your pictures on the Twitters.
Yeah, we had.
What the hell
were
you doing?
we had some friends who had just a little get together for, you know, a few of us, you know, a bunch of parents. And so they got we paid for this. We all chipped in. But we got a guy from Rockin' Sake to come and, like, you know, be our chef. And he did a whole sushi thing. He wrapped the, you know, their countertop in the kitchen, like on their island with, it's not saran wrap, it's something else, but it's like saran wrap. And then he puts, look at this. Yeah, and he's got a blowtorch. It was delicious. I didn't even show half the. I didn't even show half the stuff that he made. But I mean, it was absolutely delectable. It was fun, and you didn't have to go anywhere. You don't have to be at a restaurant. You can just hang out with your friends, and there was a lot of drinking involved.
Yeah,
Dave is such a man of the people. You're such a man of the people.
We consumed, apparently, based on. We consumed 31 bottles. It was 10 couples. We consumed 31 bottles of wine and six bottles of margarita. Yeah, I don't know.
Hope you Ubered home.
Look at Dave. Well, look at Dave, so bougie.
This, I don't even remember. What is he doing there?
Dave.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. If Dave was any more bougie, he'd be a member of Augusta National. Jesus.
I'm shocked that Dave's not taking pictures at the Masters right now after that.
I'm not even a member of Metairie Country Club, so.
Here. Thomas.
What next?
Next, first question from Twitter, from Matthew Miller. Let's go. Since Adam Sandler appears to be a fan of the pod, or at least Andrew Juge's joke, if Adam made a movie centered around Saints Happy Hour, which Happy Madison actor would play each of you, and what would the movie plot would be?
Well, oh, wow. Ralph is the guy from Billy Madison that like crosses the names off the list, you know, and then puts lipstick on his face. You know, the really strange, creepy guy. That's Ralph.
Steve Buscemi?
That's Ralph.
Yeah, Steve Buscemi's in all of his movies. No, I was thinking that would be Kevin.
Yeah, it could be Kevin.
Oh, wait. Ralph's is Chubbs because he's only got one good eye.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That's it. That's the one.
Hey, Tomas, check the timestamp on this.
It's all in the hits.
That's it. That's
Ralph.
The one.
It's all in
that's
the
one.
Oh, that's fantastic. Damn alligator, bit your hand off.
I think Andrew is the question guy, whoever. He's Eric Gordon from Billy Madison, where when Billy Madison gives the answer to his like test that he's taking,
may
like,
God have mercy on all your souls.
Yeah, Andrew jumps in and corrects us when me and Dave are just like running off at the mouth about draft stuff that we have no idea what we're talking about. Andrew just interrupts and just like smacks us down on the head. I think that's
I worked you no points. And may God have mercy on your soul.
I wish Kevin was here. This would be a good question for Kevin.
Oh, this is right in his wheelhouse. Yeah.
But what would the plot be? We have to have like a plot. It's got to involve Malta. We're going to Malta.
Oh, we're going to Malta.
I think it's like a bank heist in Malta that goes wrong, wrong, wrong.
Why are we robbing a bank?
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
I don't know, like a.
Oh, I got it. Okay. Kevin is getting married. Kevin is engaged
to the doctor. Who he just said I love you to.
And party in Olive Garden.
Can we get that tweet up there, Thomas, about the I love you?
Oh, did he tweet
the relationship status update?
Kevin is so fucking emo right now. It is gross.
It's amazing.
He's tweeting about this. He's tweeting important milestones in his relationship.
It is.
There it is.
He's even
got the Bugs Bunny.
I'm cringing. Oh my God.
She told me she's been waiting to hear that, and she said, "I love you back." Congratulations, Kevin.
This is the year of Kevin, man. The Saints are going
to
trade down.
Kevin, we love you too.
Found the love of his life. This is the year, Kevin. I feel good for our boy. I feel good for him.
I actually got to see Kevin this week.
You did.
He hung out.
Does he glow? Is he glowing, Dave?
He's in his he's in his feels for sure.
You played golf, Ralph? Dave?
Like top golf.
Loft 18 indoor simulator golf.
Yeah,
it's half bar restaurant, half golf.
So Thomas,
let me show it. Oh, wait a second. Let me show.
So Kevin's getting married to the doctor. He's having his wedding in Malta. We have to go to Malta, and then hilarity ensues. That's
I like that. Like we lose the wedding rings or something because
I feel like you guys are describing The Hangover, not a Happy Madison.
I think you merge it with like The Hangover and like Uncut Gems, like Kevin like gave me the wedding rings to keep and I like gambled them on a Saints game that I thought was a sure thing.
Oh, yes.
This is
it didn't come
I like
through.
It's good. I like
so
this
now
plot.
We've got to like get them back and oh yeah, I like that plot. I think it can work.
We need to hit up Miguel and get some Maltese movie producers when we go down there.
Yeah, we do.
Make this happen
straight to Netflix, baby.
I also think we need to discuss NFTs. I think we're going to need to start Saints Happy Hour NFTs. Like, we should let people pay hundreds of dollars for, like, they can own, you know, Kevin's intruder story. or
they can own a very special episode of Saints Happy Hour where I sound like I'm talking from the bottom of a pool.
Right. Or they can own the soon-to-be classic Ralph Chubbs comparison that just happened.
Yeah. Or the very first episode Thomas produced. Oh yeah, I think we can make $20, possibly $30 off of this idea, Dave.
There you go. All right.
Mm-hmm. All right, Thomas, do we have any questions left?
Oh yeah, last one, my favorite one, but I am not going to be able to read it cuz my English is not good enough, Ralph. You're going to have to help me, okay? Can you help me with the last question?
You're asking Ralph for help.
Okay, this is from Alexander Berkeley, whatever it's pronounced. Let's go, Ralph. This is for you.
Is Andres Taduza Bonaventura Cosenicia the inventor of the Polish sausage,
hero
of the American Revolutionary War, or C, the only NFL player from Poland?
Nice question. I like it.
I feel like if he was an NFL player, we'd have heard about it. Dave would know it, and he would have had me try to pronounce this name before, and I would remember it.
Right.
So I'm going to say C is out. I'm going to say...
Do you know any players from Poland, Ralph? Ralph, do you know any NFL player from Poland?
He is?
No, do you know any NFL player from Poland?
Do you know any NFL player?
I don't think so.
Have you already researched this name, Thomas?
I can't.
Do you know the answer?
I know who he is. I don't have to research him.
Okay.
You can Google him. You can Google him.
I mean, it's got to be the inventor of the Polish sausage. It's got to be.
Of course. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just kidding. It's B. It's B.
It's B.
Andrew, once again, you don't know shit about American history.
I was a history major in college.
No surprise there.
And yeah, does Andrew know any NFL player who was from Poland?
Was there one?
Okay, of course.
It's not Marcus Hunt, is it?
No, it's little Jordan Humphrey.
Yeah.
No, he was pretty well known in the league.
Andrew knows, I think, the 40 times of the top 40 linebackers in the 2021 draft, but he has no idea who Chester
is. Oh, I know. I know who it is. I know who it is.
Yeah, you looked at the YouTube chat.
No. It's the kicker. What's his name? The dude that got arrested.
Janikowski?
Yeah, Sebastian Janik. Seabass.
Seabass, yeah.
That's the answer.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes,
correct. And it is pronounced Andrzej Tadeusz Bonaventura Kościuszko, by the way.
Oh my.
Wow.
You can try that again, Ralph, if you want.
So is Janikowski the only NFL player from Poland ever?
No, but there was a defensive lineman, I believe, and with the Vikings, but he got caught in the practice, you know.
But so, is Janikowski from Poland, or he's just
yeah. He's Polish. Oh. He's not like Gronkowski.
He's like Janikowski is like Morton Anderson. Like he came over to America and like picked up kicking a football, and they were like, "Dude, you're awesome at this."
But he was a soccer player, yeah, in Poland.
Yes,
like most kickers, I believe.
So I think that about. That wraps it up.
About that movie, I think Ralph has to be the officiant for the wedding and then mispronounce Kevin's fiance's name.
Oh, yeah. And her name would be something simple like Morgan. or yeah. Fields.
Yeah.
I would just butcher it.
And you call her Josh Fields?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that would be like a running gag throughout the movie. 100%. So, Thomas, do we have any more questions? Or
no, that's all the last one. Told you.
That's it.
That's it. So, Thomas, get the music ready. Fire it up.
Did you need to do the shoe thing, or are we good this week?
No, the shoe thing was only the only thing in March. But okay. That reminds me, support the sponsors of the show. And if you are listening to the free version of the show and you hate the ads, become a patron and you can get the podcast ad free. If you don't like the two breaks of ads where we have two separate times where you get two ads a piece, if you, that drives you nuts and you hate it so much, just fucking pay $7 a month and you get your own custom RSS feed with the podcast with no ads ever, and you get the podcast every single day. It's the best $7 you'll spend all year. So I hope the music's playing. I can't hear it.
It's not playing. No,
Thomas, this is
what happens when you've got a Polish producer.
This is Thomas's scrambling.
Oh, so that's how it is. Okay. I remember that, Dave.
Yeah.
You're on my list.
Now,
Oh boy.
Now put your lipstick on.
Thomas is scrambling. But seriously, people, that's the thing. People hate the ads. They really, really do. So just become a patron and you don't have to worry about it. So for Kevin, who is MIA because of technical difficulties and writing love sonnets to his new significant other. For Dave, for Andrew, for Thomas, running everything seamlessly back in Poland. He does an amazing job. Seriously, we have the best. We now have the best, most fun live stream of any Saints podcast in the fucking world, and people can quote me on it. Come at me, bro. I don't care. It's a fact because Thomas is doing an amazing job in Poland. So for everybody, thanks for joining us. Until next week, the bar is closed.
Who dat?